at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church on this, our fourth Sunday of Advent, Christmas Eve. Special welcome to each and every one of you who have come, family, as you come to visit with loved ones and friends, and those from our community, we welcome you to our service today. Those that will be listening to the service a little bit later online, we also include you in our thoughts and our prayers. Coming as I did this morning from Font Hill, the fog was very, very heavy. But once I came to the Promised Land, the fog cleared, and it's so good to see. Yes, and so we do welcome you to this fourth Sunday of Advent. With regards to announcements, we would want to mention, of course, that Christmas Eve, we will have a traditional Christmas Eve service here tonight at 6:30. And tomorrow, Christmas Day at 10:30, will be a time of sharing in word and also in song. Both our English and German hymnals will be used. I've also been given by Pastor Tim the announcement concerning Helen Dix passing. She passed away on Friday, December 22nd, and her funeral service will be at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church on Wednesday, December 27th. Visitation will be at 10 o'clock, followed by the service at 11. That would be followed by a luncheon, and then there will be interment at the cemetery. This morning's call to worship scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, the first 8 verses. Allow me to read. "Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows over it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." May God speak to our hearts through the reading of his word throughout the service this day as we worship our God in word, in song, as we listen to the scriptures being read and preached by our pastor. Let us pray. God of love, bless our ponderings, our thoughts, and our worship on this holy day. Fill us with hope, peace, joy, and love, and may we be found adoring the Holy One, our Lord Jesus Christ. May the light and life of Jesus Christ be seen in us. We have come into this place to worship. We have come to adore and give praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Amen. Just before the worship team comes You're going to join me in singing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. As we prepare our hearts for worship, offer this as a praise to our God. And when we get to that last line, change the Lord to my Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ, my Lord. And all God's people said,
like such a great idea because I wasn't sick then. But then I was sick, and then I was sick on top of being sick, and then sick again. So with apologies, I now have a very fun, raspy, and bassy voice this morning. So you'll have to sing to help pick me up here, but we have some fun songs that we haven't had a chance to sing yet, and we'll start with the first Noel.
First Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Next two. I'm not sure we've sung this one here before. This is the very pretty John Lennon hymn of War Is Over, Happy Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Christmas. What have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. So this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear.
Thank you for singing. We got one more song. This is my favorite Christmas song. It is Christmas theology all wrapped up in a tiny little boy wondering if all he has to give, if that is enough, to the point where creation responds, keeping him in rhythm.
They told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, to lay before the king, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum, rum-pum-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, when we come. Little baby,
I am a poor boy too, I have no gift to bring, fit to give our king, shall I play for you, on my drum? Then he smiled at me, me and my drum,
Thank you. Please be seated.
World where so many experience violence, God lights a candle of peace in our hearts. We wait together for a Savior who will be Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 1:78-79.
I'd invite the children to please come forward. All right, hello again. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we are so close to Christmas. What's one thing you guys are really looking forward to for Christmas? Ev? Jesus' birth. That's an excellent answer. Anything else? Callan? Candy. Maybe some chocolate? Marcus? Presents. Yes, presents. That's a good answer, too. Those are all amazing things. And you know, it makes me think of the theme for today of Fourth Advent. So let's look at our banners. We've done hope, love, skip the middle one, joy. What's this Advent? Can anyone tell me? Stephanie? Peace, that's right. Do you think maybe your parents are looking forward to some peace and quiet after all of the Christmas excitement? Maybe a little bit of peace and quiet after the busyness of work? Or maybe you're looking forward to some peace after all the busyness at school. Well, today's Bible story is right near the end of the Christmas story. And it's a part we don't often hear about, but in this story, Mary and Joseph are really hoping for peace. King Herod wasn't very happy about Jesus' birth, and an angel came and told Joseph that it wasn't safe to stay in Bethlehem any longer. So they packed up baby Jesus and went to live in Egypt, and later went to Nazareth. Can you imagine all that moving homes, all just to have a peaceful, safe life? God wanted Jesus to grow up in peace. He also wants all of us to grow up in peace. How do you think we can do that? What are some things that we can do to be peaceful? Do you have any ideas? Maybe we don't fight with our siblings. That's a hard one. I know. I can attest to that. That's hard. Maybe we don't fight with our parents. Maybe we do the things they ask us to do. Maybe we share our toys with others and let others take turns. There's a bunch of different things that we can do to stay peaceful during this Christmas season. And I think about all the fun things that will happen in Christmas, I hope that we can work together to keep peace. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus. Please help us to use peaceful words and actions with family and friends at Christmas and throughout the year. Amen. Thanks, guys.
We'll now have our time for sharing joys and concerns in my nice radio voice. Now, if you are up on the soundboard and you have a concern that your cell phone has walked away, I accidentally pocketed it, so you can see me after. And if you can describe it, I'll give it back to you. I have accidentally made a few purchases on Amazon. Thank you. Does anyone have anything they would like to share? Oh, sorry. Linda, you want to raise your... I see you over there. Okay.
Good morning, I'm Margie Steingart. And you probably have all heard about the university in Prague that a shooter killed 15 students, and I believe there's about 12 that are still in the hospital and more may die. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because my grandson, Kathy and Ron Giesbrecht, their son goes to that university, and he was in that building just the day before doing a test. And by God's grace, he was not there on that day, but our prayers should go with all the students, and it was really very tragic.
Thank you for sharing.
Most of you know Helen Dick has passed away, and she was related to Margaret Weens. She was the aunt of Margaret Weens. Margaret lost her brother the same morning. Corny Dick passed away the same time the aunt did, and he was 69. So Margaret has two deaths in one time, and I want everyone to keep the entire extended family in prayer for strength and courage. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, well, let's pray together. When I invite you to do the Lord's Prayer at the end, you're welcome to do whatever version you are most familiar with in whatever language speaks to your heart, but we'll also have a version up on the screen if you don't know it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that in this Christmas time we are reminded that you are a God who does not stay at a distance, but that you are one who reaches out to us, who comes here in the middle of our mess, in the middle of our violence, in the middle of our seeming hopelessness, to bring about new hope, new life, and new joy, wrapped up as a teeny baby. Lord, we pray that during this time we would be reminded again that wherever we go, there you are, that your Spirit walks alongside us. Lord, help each person here to know even more fully that you adore them, that you love them, that they would experience this love in such a way that it changes the way they interact and care for other people. As we think of all the violence throughout the world, Lord, have mercy. Lord, as we sang today, we long to see a time where swords will be turned into plowshares, where the tools of violence will be made into the tools of creation and new hope. Change our hearts, Lord, to your peace, to be your kind of peacemakers, to be your kind of hope in a hopeless world. Holy Spirit, burn with a fire of passion for your kingdom. Burn with a fire of passion for the love of our neighbors, especially the love of those who are hurting. Lord, we pray alongside all of those families and people affected by the shooting in Prague. Lord, be with the students there. Be with the people there. Work through in the midst of this tragedy, Lord, to bring about some new hope in the midst of it. Lord, we pray for Helen Dick's family as they mourn together, not just her death, but also the death of Corny. Lord, have mercy. Be gentle, be kind alongside them. May they be aware, may each of us grieving be aware that your spirit grieves right alongside us in the midst of all of this. Lord, as we remember that we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. This whole world belongs to you. Take what we have to offer and use it to advance your kingdom in word and deed here in St. Catharines and throughout the world. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas. I'll be reading from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 23. You can find that in the Pew Bible on page 1498. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, He was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene.
Well, friends, it is almost Christmas. Are you ready? Have you finished all of the shopping, or are you checking your watch now, trying to figure out if something is still open? Can you still get to Dollarama and get the good deals? Has everything been wrapped yet? Have you gotten all of your food prepared? Is everything ready? Have you made those Christmas cookies that you plan on making every year, and perhaps you have made so many that you're thinking, I should give some of those cookies to someone. I wonder who. Oh, what a coincidence that that picture should be up there. But through all of this, have you had some time to slow down? To just let the pace of the season slow and experience the meaning, the hope? See, Christmas is this great time of joy and celebration for many of us, a time where we get our families together. For me, this is our first time being home where I will see my in-laws and my mother, and I will see one of my sisters for the first time since my wife and I got married, being able to be close to home. But for other people, that is not the case. For many others, Christmas is a time of sadness. It's almost as if all of that joy that other people are experiencing then somehow reflects back on us, and we feel what we're missing. We feel who is missing. There's something I think about Christmas more than any other celebration we have, where we experience the grief of loss deeper. The people that we've lost through the year, through the years. Even as we celebrate and go through those traditions together, those people who instilled those traditions in us often end up being ones who will at some point not be around the table. Christmas is a time of pain for many people. And as we look to that first Christmas story, as we are today, which is a real downer of a passage, I'm sure, compared to the joy of Jesus, but we see that Christmas, that first Christmas, wasn't just a time of celebration. It was a mix of celebration, it was a mix of joy and new hope, all with pain, with loss, with grief. As we finish going through our series, Keeping the X in Xmas, we are reminded that sometimes we can get caught on the wrong things. In fact, X in Xmas is an old Christian tradition. X is the first letter in Christ's name, in Christos. It is a chi. So Xmas is just Christmas. And sometimes as we get upset about these things, the great irony as we worry about a war on Christmas is that we've lost touch with the great history of our faith. That the war on Christmas is something that happens in our hearts in the way that we treat other people. In the way that we try and have our way forced upon others, which is very different than that first Christmas. In fact, I always think it's funny, Christmas is a short form of Christ's Mass, so we're already shortening it down. And however we celebrate, if we spoke to some of our friends in some more traditional churches, whether that be Orthodox or Catholic, they may suggest to us that we are doing a Mass entirely wrong. That first Christmas, bringing the mix of joy, bringing that mix of new hope that we hope to carry over to today. So today's passage is in Matthew chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 23. And a little background here again, this is the first book that shows up in the New Testament, written by Matthew, a disciple of Jesus. And he goes through this beginning order in ways that maybe we wouldn't. He starts things off with this great genealogy, the history of Jesus, but it's very colorful. And he colors outside the lines with some very unexpected people, especially unexpected women, showing up in the story. And then we see Mary being pregnant out of wedlock. What do we do with this? And Joseph figuring things out. People, angels coming to Joseph, helping explain, helping him get into this mix together. And then as they have to go off to Bethlehem, we see these strange wizards, mystics, sorcerers that we call magi because we're uncomfortable with who they are, that we have to pretend that they're not some sort of magicians, traveling from the east to eventually come and visit Jesus. And they do this during the time of King Herod, who isn't exactly known as a friendly king. And as they go to Herod, they say, "Where is this king?" The experts all tell them, well, he should be in Bethlehem. So they go to Bethlehem, they find the child, they worship, they bring these seemingly strange gifts, but gifts of a king, gifts to anoint a new ruler, gifts to anoint one who is about to die. And they're warned in a dream that they shouldn't go back to Herod, so they go home by another route, reminding us that our God works in surprising ways. By reaching out to far-off, unexpected people to bring about his loving, magical kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. Now we enter into the passage. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." For those of us who aren't great with geography, this is essentially being told to walk or travel with a newborn or maybe a young child and his mother about 800 kilometers. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, a long, difficult journey, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Oh, I have some of these out of order. Huh. Well, I have some slides out of order, so I will just go off the top of my head remembering the story, and thank you for your patience. We see prophecy fulfilled, but then we see Herod realize that he's been tricked. And Herod will go and he will act in violence. He's going to act very angrily here. He's going to go and kill all of those children that were in Bethlehem. Sorry, as I'm skipping through here. What happens is he's not sure exactly how old Jesus is, so everyone under the age of 2 will be killed. And this is a tragic time. The verse that says afterwards, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." That's not something we talk about in church very often, is it? Refusing to be comforted. Well, can't we just pray and hold hands and love each other a little bit, and then comfort comes? Well, comfort doesn't come to these people who have lost so much. Not only that, let's not forget that Bethlehem is the place where all of Joseph's relatives live. That means as Joseph and Mary escape, they unknowingly leave their nieces, their nephews behind to be killed by Herod. Everyone related to Jesus within that 2-year span, all those other children will be killed. And this is a troubling passage. And I think it brings us to some troubling questions, questions that maybe we think we're not allowed to ask sometimes at church. But why does God allow this to happen? God was able to warn Joseph in a dream and save the Christ child. Why not save all the children? And maybe that leads us to reflect to our lives today. Where is God when bad things happen now? As we celebrated with Margie today that her grandson was not at the place where there was a shooting, our family wasn't there, but many other children were and were hurt. Why not save all of them? God, where are you in the midst of my pain, in the midst of our hurting, in the midst of this violence? Why don't you stop things? When you turn on the news, when we look at what's going on in Israel and Palestine, all throughout the world, why doesn't God step in and do something? And so we look and wonder, is there hope in this passage? Is there hope for us in these difficulties, in this Christmas mourning experience? Well, I think Jesus shows us what God's love looks like in our pain. That God came down, entering into our mess, entering into our world, and God did something about it. That God started to work to bring about this twisted world with sin, with violence and pain, to slowly start untwisting it through the power of the resurrection. Untwisting it to bring about new hope and new life in those places where we've only seen death. God does not cause evil. God does not cause Herod to do such an evil thing. God does not cause Herod to decide that he should kill all of those babies just in case. Not only that, there were many people involved in this violence. There were a lot of soldiers that were just following orders. They were following the law. Just because something is lawful doesn't mean that it is moral and good. Those soldiers went and did the evil on behalf of Herod, themselves participating in it. Our God does not cause the world's brokenness. And our world surely is broken. But ours is a God who is at work to bring healing and peace into our broken world. So as we wonder to ourselves, and maybe this feels like a cheating answer, where is God when things go wrong? God is right there alongside us. Where is God? Ours is a God that is in solidarity with us, taking on the violence and the pain on himself as well. God entered into the pain with us. Not with some great army, not as some great king, not with everything going well, but into a very difficult family situation where as they go to their hometown, no one will even let them sleep in the houses, and they have to find this kind of sideways off place because they're having a baby at the wrong time. Not only that, but in the midst of this pain of having to escape as refugees to a whole other culture where they speak other languages, where they will look and be different, trying to survive more than 800 kilometers away from any family and support. And in that way, as God shows us what it means to step alongside us into this mess, to bring about hope, God invites us to do the same. God invites us to partner with him. In some ways, as our friends, as our family, as our neighbors experience pain and grief, we are the ones who will embody God's love as we sit alongside them in silence. We are the ones who get to be the hugs of Jesus in the midst of those pain. We are the ones that get to be sometimes those warm meals, that extra help, reminding those other people that they are not alone because God is with them as God is with us, and we are going to go and show it in how we love. That we get to partner with God in being solidarity with the hurting. We get to be in solidarity. That means we get to go and to stand alongside those who are hurting and work so that we're able to help them escape and move beyond that hurt into the flourishing life that God calls us all to. Because our God continues to work in surprising ways through broken people. You are not called to follow Jesus as some perfect version of you, but as the broken version of you that exists today. All of your pain, all of your hurt, is part of what makes you able to
to follow Jesus and share his love in such a way that others will be able to receive it. God working in surprising ways through broken people to bring about his loving kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. So what will this mean for us? What will this mean for us this Christmas season? Well, Jesus reminds us that ours is a God who is for us. God is for you. And Jesus reminds us to be honest about our pain. And hopefully as a community, we can be a community where we can be honest about our pain together. That's what it means to be a church. We can be honest about our hurts and our joys and living that out as in community together. Jesus invites us to come as we are. We don't have to wait to get everything right. Come now. And Jesus invites us to be near the hurting. For many people, you will be the only love of Jesus they will ever see or experience. That is what we are called to do together. We are invited to experience his loving presence. That Jesus' loving presence isn't at a distance, but is right here alongside us in the difficulties. And Jesus invites us to be his loving presence as church. That's what we get to be. That's why we are here. We are here as a church not because we all come from the same cultural background, though many of us do, not because we agreed to sing the same songs that we like, not because we agreed to listen to someone stand at the front for 20 minutes and no more every Sunday, but because we come here to be filled again with that new hope and that new love so we can go and be the church of Jesus to our neighbors throughout St. Catharines and throughout the world. Jesus offers to grieve alongside us, recognizing even in that verse where there are people who just cannot experience any comfort in their pain. It doesn't say anything about that being wrong. There's no judgment on them for that. It is recognizing that what they have experienced is so painful that there is no comfort, and yet God will sit in discomfort alongside them. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. And this changes everything. This changes and reverses even the tragedy and the difficulty in our world to a place where we can start to see new hope and new life in the midst of our pain. Because our God continues to work in surprising ways through broken people like us. Broken people like you, to bring about his loving kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy, to bring his love to your neighbors and through the neighborhood. We are reminded that we serve in this world not primarily as Canadians, as I served in the U.S., not primarily as Americans, but primarily as people of God, as Jesus people, as people who are part of God's kingdom, living here as the Israelites did in exile, recognizing that this is not our world. And yet, we live here as ambassadors, as foreigners, as exiles, to show this world that there is a new king who has already come and is coming in fullness to bring about that new hope and that new life that we all long for. We live as exiles here, living out our good lives as best we can, our loving lives to our neighbors, so that the love of God can spread, so that the good news of Jesus and that new life can spread in us, through us, sometimes in spite of us. That is our hope at Christmas, that God came down to you to invite you to be a part of this new story of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Spirit, we thank you that you continue to be near. And Jesus, thank you that you continue to come to us. Lord, open our eyes to see you at work all around us. And open our hands and our hearts so that we can participate in this. May we be your hands and feet as we love others and bring your good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our final song, O Holy Night. This is a song that requires an operaic range of voice, which I most certainly do not possess this morning, but I see in some of you those high notes. So we'll try that all together. This is a song, and the lyrics that we'll sing all of them. It is a song of hope, it is a song of peace, and a song of freedom. O Holy Night.
Chains shall he break,
For the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raising, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, now
was born.
Oh, night
divine, oh, night divine.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord fill you with his joy and his peace as you go out and serve him. Go in God's peace. Amen.